Please welcome founding investor, executive consultant, Joey Carter. Joey, you there?
Hey, Bear, I'm here, and it is a delight to be on the national call tonight. And as always, I want to thank you again for hosting tonight's call. It's just a treat and to be a part of Ambit Energy and the excitement as we're approaching, you know, the 11th year now with Ambit. So just delighted to be on the call and appreciate the introduction and want to share a little bit of my background, because with the success of our open enrollment and the inspiration that came out of Ambition, maybe a lot of people on the call that I haven't had a chance to visit with, and delighted for those on the call that I have had a chance to visit with. I heard Frank Nagel's name earlier. Frank, it's hard to be a Dallas Cowboy fan today. We're going to have to be less than 500. So I can have my pity party with the Dallas Cowboys, but I can sure get excited about Ambit Energy. So I want to tell a bit about my background, really how our Ambit story. Then I'm going to talk about really, I think, what's important to have not only the spirit of Ambit, but to have the right, well, I'll just talk about the spirit of Ambit in a minute. But really, my Ambit story, and Bear mentioned a little bit of it, I was very fortunate that I was one of Ambit's original investors way back in 2006. It's hard to believe I now say way back in 2006. But I was fortunate. Jerry Thompson, who I'd known for about 15, 20 years in, you know, Dallas social circles and the business community, Jerry reached out to me to ask my opinion of relationship marketing, direct selling, because Jerry had spent 2 years, he gave me a quick update, 2 years really building the foundation for the launch of a retail energy company in Texas. I knew about the deregulation of electricity, and Jerry had spent 2 years assembling the team, the back office, and as Jerry was getting closer and closer to his official launch, which would be in the summer of 2006, Jerry met with different advisors, and he met with someone that asked Jerry a great question. Someone asked Jerry what kind of customer he wanted for his new company. And Jerry's response was, "I want loyal customers." And what loyal customers translates to is higher retention, lower turnover, a significantly lower cost of customer acquisition, and also a smaller percentage of bad debts. Whoever Jerry was talking to suggested that based on that definition of his customer, he should look at relationship marketing, direct selling, network marketing, and they ought to go study what XL Communication did with telecom, gathering millions of customers for long-distance services and growing to be one of the largest resellers of long-distance in the United States. And they did it based on relationship marketing, people introducing a product or service they know to people they know, love, and trust. And they, when they went public, XL Communication, the success, they were able to statistically show that against their competition, which was MCI, Sprint, WorldCom, and a host of others, they had higher customer loyalty because of relationship marketing. So when Jerry heard that, on paper, relationship marketing, direct selling made perfect sense. The challenge for Jerry is he'd never been around network marketing, direct selling before. He reached out to a couple of individuals, Michael Lunsford of Mary Kay, and reached out to me because my family had been in direct selling network marketing business, gosh, since the 1950s. My grandmother founded a company in Dallas called Home Interiors and Gifts. And for 48 years, our family owned and operated that business. And it opened enormous doors for our family. My grandmother literally took me around the world, took me to the White House, introduced me to heads of state. The success of Home Interiors allowed our family in 1980 to start the Dallas Mavericks NBA franchise. People think my father, who was really the founder, that he was in the oil and gas business. He must have been a cattle baron, maybe a real estate tycoon or a shipping magnate. But it was relationship marketing similar to the Ambit model over a period of time allowed us to start the Dallas Mavericks. The success of Home Interiors, as I became the third CEO and the third generation CEO, allowed me also to get involved with the Direct Selling Association. Some of you may have seen on the Ambit literature, it'll say DSA. The DSA, the Direct Selling Association, is a 104-year-old industry trade group that promotes, protects, and serves the opportunity of independent business owners to have home-based businesses. They promote the industry, they protect the industry from unwanted legislation, and they serve the industry as well. And so they do an enormous job, a wonderful job. There may be some 3,000 companies that might consider themselves to be direct selling companies, but only about 300 of those companies choose to be held accountable and bound by the code of ethics of the Direct Selling Association. So I told you, I had the opportunity to be chairman of the association and served on the various boards. And so really that resume of Home Interiors, the Direct Selling Association, is why Jerry reached out to me to ask my opinion of this industry in 2006. I was delighted to get a call from Jerry, and I shared a lot about the Direct Selling Association. I thought he was 100% accurate on the value of relationship marketing to bring a loyal customer. What Jerry didn't know at the time is I'd been approached by another direct seller of energy 2 or 3 years before Ambit. And the company has done very well, but they just didn't have the talent that I believe Jerry and Chris have assembled. So when I had the phone call with Jerry, I told him I thought it was a great idea. And one of Jerry's questions also, was there any chance that using relationship marketing, direct selling, could ever bring shame upon his family? Of course, his father and grandfather and uncle really built the 7-Eleven and the convenience store industry. So Jerry, more than anything else, he didn't want to ever bring shame to his family. And if this industry was not viable, was not sustainable, did not have an opportunity to grow, he certainly wanted to be a part of it. I told him I thought he had a great idea, and it wasn't long after our call, Jerry calls back. I was all excited to hear from him. He said, Joy, we are going to do it. We are going to use relationship marketing. We are going to use network marketing to gather customers. He said, first of all, Joy, we're going to call the company Ambit. I didn't know what the word Ambit meant. I looked it up. The word Ambit means circle of influence or sphere of influence. I think it's a fabulous name. Where can your circle of influence take you? He then told me that he was partnering with Chris Chambliss. Chris came from XL Communications, understood the compensation plan, and knew how to even make it more richer for electricity versus long-distance services. And then Jerry asked me one final question. Joy, would you consider investing in Ambit Energy? Well, in many ways, I think this was the very first three-way validation call in the history of Ambit. Because Jerry really didn't need the investment I was making. He'd raised the significant capital, already had the capital he needed. I think it was a validation call that if I didn't believe enough to invest in a company that just 3 weeks earlier I told me I thought was a great idea, maybe it probably wasn't my best recommendation. So I was excited to invest with Ambit Energy in 2006. And then right off the bat, every month we'd get an update of the growth of the company. And as you know, in 2006 we did $1 million. First year, the second year, full year, did about $30 million, then $180 million, then $325 million, then $400 and something. And then this year, we're on course somewhere between $1.5 and $1.7 billion in revenue in our 10th full year in the business. How exciting it is for me to be an investor in Ambit Energy and delighted with the growth. But along the way, as an Ambit investor, one of the emails I received was introducing us to Ambition. And so in 2009, I went to Ambition in 2009 in Dallas, really just to understand the business. They had an investor lunch on Saturday. They gave the investors that were there a brief update. Then they asked if any of the investors would like to go down and see the closing general session. Of course, as we know now, this is where Jerry and Chris make their keynote presentation. This is also where exciting announcements are made. And I don't know, there probably was less than 3,000 people on Ambition in 2009. But I got to see Chris and Jerry communicate their passion, their belief, their vision for this business. Also got to see Brian McClure, that is the national host of this call, that put this call together. Brian McClure was recognized as the number one income earner. And then Brian also, he thanked Jerry and Chris, and he thanked the investors that put the money up to start Ambit. Now, Brian McClure didn't know I was in the audience, but I was so very impressed that Brian recognized that there were those that put money up. And when I tell people in 2006 I invested in an electric company that had like 6 customers, they think I might have been pretty foolish. Well, now I've invested in a company with $1.7 billion in sales and over 1.5 million customers, so I can be pretty excited about it now. But I was impressed that Brian McClure mentioned that. And as the meeting came to an end and they announced some exciting promotions and some expansions in more markets in New York, Carolyn Thompson, because the investors were sitting near the family, and Carolyn Thompson, Jerry Thompson's wife, reached out and said, you ought to do this. Why aren't you in this business? And to be honest, I thought she was sort of kidding. Then I realized she was serious. I almost was offended. I'm an investor in the business. Why would I be a consultant as well? And so I left, and as I was driving home, the more I thought about it, I was really puzzled by Carolyn Thompson's question. First of all, no one had ever asked me to be a consultant for them before. And I've advised and supported, been on the boards of several direct selling companies, invested and owned other companies. No one's ever asked me to be a consultant. And so at first, though, I might have been offended that Carolyn asked that question. The more I thought about it, the more I realized, why wasn't I a consultant? If I believed enough to invest with Jerry and Chris, why wasn't I involved in the business as well? I use electricity every day. Why was I paying more? And I got to be honest, when I became an investor in 2006, I waited about a year and a half before I became a customer. Why? I wanted to really make sure Ambit worked. Because in 2006, there was no guarantee that this whole thing was going to work. Could they supply the electricity? Would the power get switched on right? And, you know, I've got some great steaks in the refrigerator. I didn't want those to go bad if the power went out. So I waited a few months before I switched my house to Ambit electricity. Now I'm glad I did, because I've earned over $20,000 in free energy along the way as well. But again, Carolyn Thompson asked me to be a consultant, and it really was puzzled. But the more I thought about it, the more I became challenged. And for those that know me well, you know, I was CEO of Home Interiors and Gifts. We grew that company to $1 billion, and it was basically decorative accessories, giftware. And so our sales organization was 99.9% women. So I never was a consultant. I never represented our home interiors products. Yet I was CEO of the company, telling everybody how to do the business, and to be hypocritical, I had never done the business. My grandmother used to always say that if things got rough, she could pick up the kit for home interiors and provide for her family. I could not say that. So as I thought more about what Carolyn said, I wondered, could I carry the kit of Ambit Energy? Could I really do what I had talked my whole life? My grandmother used to say, those that do, do, those that can't teach. I'd been teaching direct selling, but had never done the business. So with a little bit of reluctance, been very, very nervous, invested $429 and became a consultant in November of 2009. Quickly promoted to regional consultant, then senior consultant, and 2 years later promoted to executive consultant, and have had a wonderful time being executive consultant. Certainly I can do a whole lot more, but still doing it very part-time. Have created a nice additional residual income stream, and have a wonderful team of associates, primarily in Texas, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, now in Ohio and some in New York, and we've got people in a whole bunch of other states as well. And it is exciting to see the growth of this business. So I am delighted to be an Ambit consultant. I started just like you, and people always ask me, what have I learned? Well, I had some dear friends told me no. I also would tell the story that, you know, like any good consultant, I thought about quitting Ambit a few times as well. You know, the first time that you think you've got somebody that's all going to say yes as a customer and they say no, my college roommate turned me down. I've had individuals I thought would be wonderful in this business that just chose not to, and that could be disappointing. But I also learned that we can't stop at no. And if you think you're the only person to ever get told no, join the club. But it's not the no's that grow your business, it's the yes's that grow your business. And it's also the spirit and culture of Ambit that I think grows your business. So I want to take a few minutes, and today I was at a wonderful church service, and the pastor was really telling the story related to the Christmas season and about really the spirit and culture in our faith. And the more I listened to it, the more I thought this applies to Ambit as well, and really the Ambit family of how we all rise together and grow this business. And he really talked about two things that can break a spirit and one thing that can build a spirit. And I just want to just review these because I believe it can apply to Ambit as well. And the first thing he talked about that can break our spirit is when we unintentionally create unnecessary competition. Now, it's good to be competitive in this business, and you know, I want to be a top 50 income earner, and those top 10 income earners, they certainly like to, that is important, and it's important for me. Also, one of my goals is to be a 5-star trip winner. And so, yes, that's a healthy competition, but when we create unhealthy competition amongst our peers in this business, I'm not competing against any other consultant other than myself. I'm not competing against Brian McClure. I'm not competing against Ellis Bentley. I'm not competing against Debbie Stutzman or Tammy Stone or Linda and Gary Booth. I'm competing against myself. But when we unintentionally create competition unnecessarily, we begin to compare ourselves. We continue to rank ourselves and say, well, if I only had X, I could be doing this, or if I had that support. But competition can break our spirit. There's a healthy level of competition, but also the competition of someone else on your team doing well or not being excited for someone else. This is one of the few businesses that somebody can join your team, and in effect, they can pass you up in this business. They may be faster to senior consultant or executive consultant. And if you have those people on your team in your marketing code or regional code or senior code, I want you to realize that is a wonderful gift. And so it's not about competition. It's about celebrating and supporting and encouraging each other. It's not about competition. So there's a healthy place for competition. But when you get into a level of competition where you're trying to compare yourself to every other consultant, and if I only had that person, or if I had that guest, or if I had that prospect, versus encouraging and supporting each and every one of us. The next thing he talked about that can break our heart, he's really talking about the Christmas spirit, really talking about breaking our spirit. And he used a term that I don't often use, but the more I thought about it, it applied to Ambit. He talked about consumerism can break our spirit. That's when we put the wrong reason for why we're doing the business. And I merely thought about when we go out and try to sell electricity or sell natural gas or now sell solar panels. Really, with electricity and natural gas, I made a lot of mistakes in my first 18 months in this business because I tried to approach it from consumerism. I tried to create a demand, provide a product, and provide it at the best rate. And so that meant I talked rates all day long. I knew either 6.7 cents, 10 cents, 12 cents, 14 cents, 6 cents, 8 cents, 9 cents, 13 cents. And I tried to approach this business by finding out what your rate was and trying to beat that rate. And so I was selling electricity, and the biggest mistake I made early on in the business was thinking I should just be able to sell electricity or sell natural gas, even with the guaranteed savings. I talked more about rates than I talked about asking people for a favor. I still think it's one of the most awkward things for a person to do is learn to ask for a favor. We try to be so independent. We try to be competitive. But the challenge is that when we try to go out and just sell rates, and so we're basing our complete business plan on rates versus simply asking someone to do you a favor. Yes, rates are important, but rates are so close and so competitive that it's really all about asking someone to do you a favor. And I've had times when even our rates might not have always been the cheapest in Texas. And the difference might have been a cup of coffee a month. And I tell that prospective customer that, you know, I'll pay that cup of coffee a month. That's not necessary if I start from the basis of asking people to do a favor. I think it's one of the biggest obstacles we overcome. And if you're a new consultant, if you can learn to ask somebody to do you a favor, as awkward as that might be the first time, you'll find your success when someone asks, yes, somebody to do a favor. It means you're communicating your why. Consumerism is when it's all about the product, all about the rate. But if you make that personal about your why, more people have been willing to become my customer, not because of the rates for Ambit, but because they hear that my goal in Ambit is to earn a five-star trip. And when they hear me talk about my goal with a five-star trip, they want to help me be a five-star trip winner. More people have become my customer to support me with my goal. Certainly they think, well, he's got enough money. He's got, why would I want to, you know, add to his income stream? They may not have any interest in that, but they'd love to be a part of me earning a trip. So competition, there's a healthy side, but there's also a terrible side when we try to rank ourselves or try to compete with other consultants versus just all just doing this together. Secondly, consumerism, we try to sell electricity. So we had two areas that can really break our spirit, and then there was the one area that can really can change our spirit and build our spirit. And he talked about community. And I think about the Ambit community and the Ambit family that we've created, and that's what I love about Ambit is that I do three-way calls for lots of other teams, and people on our team reach out to other teams and they do a three-way call. I've sent people to business presentations in lots of states with never having the fear that somebody's going to meet them in the parking lot and hand them a new Ambit card and say, you don't want to join from that team in Texas, join our team. It has never happened to me. I'm sure there might be isolated circumstances. But what I love about the Ambit community is that we support and encourage each other. And that's why if you have a prospect, yes, you need to go to a business presentation. If you don't have a prospect, you need business presentation even more. To plug into the Ambit community, I like to call it the Velcro. On our team, we talk about three things we want every new consultant to do. Get paid, get promoted, and get plugged in. Plugged into Ambit is getting the Velcro, getting that stickiness, and that comes from our community. And so I love what Brian McClure does. Brian McClure never asks whose team you're on. I've never walked into anybody else's training event and someone said, whose team are you on, that maybe I would not be welcome to that event. But as we get close to the Christmas season and the holiday season, whatever faith may be yours, how important it is at this time of year to reflect on the past year, but then to prepare for the new year. We've only got a couple more Sundays left before we start the new year. And tradition is there's the Ambit calendar year that ties into ambition. But as we approach January, we all tend to list those New Year's resolutions that we've said year and year again. But what I like to think about is what you can be doing now to go ahead and start. Don't wait till January 1 to say, okay, I'm going to reach out to two people a day. I get to do an awful lot with Justin Tidle in Dallas, and I love his simple model for success, and that is to reach out to one person a day and follow up with one person a day. All too often, if we're a new consultant in the business, we think we've got to call 10 people a day, 10 people tomorrow. And yes, I encourage you, if you can, to do that. But this business is about consistent, persistent effort. So if you'll call one person a day and follow up with one person a day, if you'll do that consistently, persistently in your business, you'll find wonderful results in your business. But what I like about doing that is don't wait till January 1 to say, and if you're already thinking about, well, in January I'm going to do this with my Ambit business, in January I'm going to do this. What's wrong with December the 13th? There's an awful lot of 2015 still available for you. And to have that much more momentum going into ambition, and don't you, not ambition, simulcast, and don't you dare be postponing your 2016 until after simulcast. There's a lot of people that will in the summer say, well, I'll just wait till after ambition. Those that wait till after ambition, I think, lose so much momentum. The same thing will happen now to those that will wait till after simulcast, because you're convinced there's going to be a great opportunity for new consultants to start right after simulcast. But why not have 10 more people on your team having the opportunity to go do that after simulcast? Don't wait for simulcast. Don't wait for January 1st. What you can be doing now in your business. And yes, a part of that is setting goals. And I'm okay at setting goals, but not nearly efficient enough in setting goals, especially my Ambit goals and setting up a picture board. Again, that five-star trip is always on my list. But my goal in 2016, I've done a lot in this business, but I've yet to promote an executive consultant in our executive code. And I'm so excited with Butch Binyak, Tammy Stone, and Debbie Stutzman all racing to be the first new EC in our team and our EC code. And I can't wait for that to happen. That's one of my goals for the first of the year. But again, I believe the consistency of little goals, how many people you're going to contact each and every day, always adding to your written list. But again, as we approach the end of the year, again, celebrating the success, recognizing the things that we can improve on, and getting ready to start 2016. But don't wait till January 1. Don't wait till simulcast. Again, I just want to wish each of you the very, very best this holiday season. We celebrate Christmas with our family, and whatever your faith is, I hope you have a safe and a wonderful holiday. But don't limit yourself this holiday. I came in from the airport this afternoon and had a chance to talk to an Uber driver. Found out this Uber driver has been in a lot of businesses, very much an entrepreneur, and we're settled up to have some time tomorrow to talk about Ambit Energy. So, Barry, I want to turn it back over to you. Always being a treat to be on the call. Love to talk a little bit about my Ambit story and talking about really how we can avoid competition unnecessarily or selling electricity and really what the Ambit community together. And I appreciate and welcome all of y'all to the Ambit community tonight. Barry, turn it back over to you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I always love hearing your story.